Thousands of people have taken to the streets in Israel in protest at the government of Benjamin Netanyahu. The protesters were seeking the Prime Minister's resignation and an immediate deal to free the Israeli hostages still being held in Gaza. In other developments, Israeli soldiers have pulled out of the Al-Shifa hospital in Gaza City, and there have been more drops of food aid. However, the United Nations says the drops fall far short of what is needed. To bring us up to date, we're joined now by Dan Williams, who's the Reuters senior correspondent in Jerusalem. Dan, thanks for being with us this morning. Will you tell us, first of all, about these protests? How large were they?
They were, I think, inarguably the largest protests Israel has seen during this war since October 7th, and they appeared to recall in scope and intensity protests that were quite common on a weekly basis prior to the war last year, focusing on the judicial overhaul plans of the Netanyahu government at the time.
And what were people protesting about? What was the main focus?
That's an excellent question. There appears to be a perfect storm building here politically, fueled in large part by the Gaza war. While the war still has extensive support within Israeli society, it is reaching its six-month point. And some Israelis are accusing the Prime Minister of extending the war beyond what it needs to be, in part for his political interests, for his political survival, given his legal woes. Netanyahu has consistently denied this. There is also mounting anger and angst over the fate of some 130 hostages remaining in Gaza that Israel has not succeeded in freeing. It succeeded in freeing more or less an equal amount through negotiations, indirect negotiations with Hamas, smaller scale military rescues. But there are 130, and there's a great deal of concern, not least given recent testimony in the New York Times and elsewhere, that the women there may be subjected to sexual violation. This obviously has been denied by Hamas, the group that's holding them in the Gaza Strip. Then added to that, there is now a cresting crisis or a crisis building within the coalition over an arrangement that has excluded ultra-Orthodox Jews, a minority but a growing minority in Israeli society. They have been excluded for decades, or exempted, I should say, from the military draft for reasons of religious piety, preferences, lifestyle issues, and such like. And now the government is under court order to end that situation, and obviously given the manpower, the personnel problems posed by the war, not to mention the large casualty toll on Israelis, both conscripts and reservists, many Israelis want an end put to this. They want ultra-Orthodox Jews to share the burden of the draft. This is being resisted by the politicians representing that constituency. So all these things are coming together to a series of protests that are partly to do with the war and partly to do with longer-running criticism of Netanyahu within Israeli society.
And as all of this was taking place yesterday, Benjamin Netanyahu was in hospital.
He was. He underwent a hernia operation. What we heard as of this morning, that it was successful. He is conscious. He is conversing with his family, the doctors say. Last night before he went in, he held a press conference saying he intended to return to work as soon as possible. There's no word on that, on when that might happen. I would imagine, other than his medical needs, he might welcome a reprieve of a few hours, a few days, given that today, April 1st, is when a Supreme Court order essentially suspending state subsidies for ultra-Orthodox seminaries. Just to mention what I said earlier, as part of the pressure building on the ultra-Orthodox over the draft issue, the Supreme Court said that state subsidies received by ultra-Orthodox students of conscription age should be suspended as of today. So presumably there'll be a lot of upset people within his coalition, Netanyahu's coalition, which features two ultra-Orthodox parties. So again, he has a medical reason to be away from the public eye. He said he'll be returning as soon as possible. But this is perhaps one day when he might welcome the chance to recover and be away from the public eye.
There are also these reports this morning that Israeli soldiers have now withdrawn from Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza. Has the army confirmed this?
It has. This is exactly a two-week-old operation. Officially ended as of this morning. We are seeing a large number of Palestinians entering the ravaged complex of what was the biggest hospital before this almost six-month-old war. There are also accounts coming through of a number of casualties, fatalities being found there. Israel says it went in 2 weeks ago based on intelligence that Hamas and other armed groups were holding up there. And indeed, there were a number of very, very intense clashes in or around the hospital, including two soldiers who were killed there, two Israeli soldiers. According to Israel, at least 200 gunmen were killed in the clashes, 500, what Israel says, were confirmed members of these militant groups arrested, and intelligence documents and weaponry seized. According to the Palestinians, this basically put a halt to operations at this important medical center, and they are saying that the casualties were civilians. I imagine now that the dust will settle, the situation will become clearer. It's worth noting that Israel did name a number of the Hamas members it said were killed there. It also issued ample footage, including of downed gunmen at the site. So this was an operation that came as a surprise to many, because Israel actually had been in the hospital for an extensive period a few months ago and then left. But it's possible that what happened is Israel left and perhaps set up surveillance equipment, and then seeing the opportunity to swoop on a large collection of gunmen, came back in 2 weeks ago.
Can we talk about the humanitarian situation? Because another aid ship is on its way from Cyprus, but the best way of getting food and medical supplies into Gaza is by road. Are there any indications at all that this process might speed up?
As you noted, there is a maritime corridor that's being built, and we expect once the Americans come in with the plan announced by President Biden, basically to establish a pier for offloading maritime cargo, that will pick up considerably, but we're not expecting that to happen until May. There have been airdrops, which you noted in your précis, sometimes as many as four or five a day, but oftentimes those parachuted packages end up in the sea, not a very efficient way potentially of putting down the aid. So yes, we have had humanitarian relief agencies talking about the need for overland traffic. There is an overland route that's been used almost from the outset of the war from Egypt. Egypt also has its own border with the Gaza Strip. Israel in recent weeks has been allowing a small amount of aid across its land borders with the Gaza Strip. It's actually encountered some opposition from Israelis who physically tried to block the aid, saying as long as the hostages are inside, we should not be supplying aid, which according to Israel is oftentimes seized by Palestinian fighters rather than sent to civilians. Also, it's worth noting that Israel from the outset has said that after the Hamas attack across that border into Israel on October 7th, it wants this war to transform the situation whereby there will no longer be commercial or aid traffic from Israel into the Gaza Strip. So one imagines there is a backdrop, a strategic reason for Israel resisting or balking at these foreign or these international calls to increase the overland traffic from its side of the Gaza border. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the Israelis are trying to offer alternatives in the form of the Egyptian border, seaborne aid, and airdropped aid.
All right, Dan Williams, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning. Dan Williams there of the Reuters news agency.